Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence in You, right here at Senior Talk Radio, WCWP.org. Our co-host today is Iris Bunshaft. And Iris, before break, you had a point or a question that you wanted to direct at Lorraine. So let's move right to that.
Thank you, Rebecca. What I'm looking at the spring catalog, and as you said, Lorraine, this varies from time to time, and the summer catalog has already come out. But I just wanted to touch on the fact that they discuss more serious things, too, like depression, and also how to relieve stress by self-massage, progressive relaxation with guided imagery, Tai Chi, really such wonderful, wonderful programs, starting from the top of your head with your brain, going all the way down to your feet. And it's you really presented it very, very well, Lorraine. I think people got a really good idea of that, a way to key into university without walls. All ways to enhance their comfort, just the way Project Independence is.
So one of the other questions I was interested is, how many current members do you have? Like, how does it work with membership?
So there's no membership required. Right now, I would say that we have about 400 people that are participating in our programs. Some people come and just take one class, a single session. Other people sign up for multiple things, over a particular semester's time. Many, many people come back to us semester after semester. We were actually just looking at some information the other day. Our longest continuing participant has been taking classes with us for over 20 years.
Wow.
Yes.
That's interesting. So they take a lot of all the classes that are out there.
Can you touch on your pilot program that's going to get started? It's not going to affect those of our listeners at this time, but your tech program on a one-to-one basis with volunteers coming to the home.
Yes, that's a brand new program, and it's not a part of the University Without Walls. That's a pilot, and we are still working on rolling that out and getting things set up, but I'd be happy to talk about that another time when we can share more detailed information.
Okay, look forward to that.
One of the topics that I see that is highlighted here is To Your Health, which enables seniors to learn more about their health concerns from professionals in the healthcare field. And it also connects seniors with their peers who can provide emotional support and the benefit of experience with similar conditions. So how does that work when you're talking about connecting seniors with their peers?
So we're always doing that regardless of what the class is. I think in our support groups, that's something that looks a little bit different than in our classes, because there's no specific agenda that's happening. People will get together on the line. They are forming relationships with each other over a longer period of time. Our two vision loss support groups are both facilitated by women who have had that experience themselves. And the people that are joining in the group, some of them may be experiencing that loss for the first time, and of course to a different degree. And to be, welcomed by people who really understand the fear that comes along with that, and all the new learning that needs to take place, people who can celebrate with you when you experience a triumph or figure a way to get around a challenge is wonderful, to be with other people that can do that with you. And they just have a lot of practical information to share, what organizations have been helping them out, what forms have they found helpful, where are their different routines, that might help somebody that's beginning to think about some of these issues for the first time.
Right. I mean, it's wonderful, Lorraine, especially for seniors who are not able to get out of the house, who are isolated, who, may live alone, or, it's just wonderful that, there's people that they can connect with and form relationships with and return to when they need to, whether it's, you know, once a week or... And how does a support group usually run? Is it like weekly or as needed?
Run weekly. You know, there's certainly never any expectation that you must, you know, show up for every single group. You know, we understand that, you know, people have life situations, as does everybody. So some people will, you know, will attend groups the majority of the time. They may step away from a group for a semester and then come back. Our enrollment is always open. That's true for all of our classes and support groups. People can join at any time, and they can take a break and return at any time. We have people sometimes that, you know, will travel or that have family responsibilities or other situations that might keep them away from their group for a little while. And they're always welcome to come back when their circumstances allow it.
And that's great. And there's some, you know, also, you know, anonymous, I don't want a theme to it, too. So a lot of people don't like to get this kind of support. And being on the phone in this kind of a situation is, I think, is ideal. What types of support groups are there?
So currently we're offering several different groups. There are two that focus on people experiencing vision loss. There's a group for aging in the LGBT community that we run with our partnership with SAGE, very well-respected LGBT organization. We also have a group for caring for a loved one with memory loss. You mentioned earlier, you know, how wonderful it is that people, you know, don't need to travel from home in order to get that support. And for caregivers, that's especially urgent. Their lives are really filled with a lot of demands, and it's often impossible for them to spend time away from the person that they're caring for. So this is a wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely. Caregiver support in any way is crucial.
Yes. We also offer two different bereavement groups, and the facilitator is the same for both of those groups. And what she's tried to do is to... bring people together who are experiencing the loss of someone who had a similar role in their life. So there may be
right.
a group where everybody has lost a parent or everybody has lost a spouse, so that there is some continuity between the participants and what their experiences have been. And it's not unusual for someone who's been in our caregiving group to potentially move into another group at another time.
Right. That makes sense. So I'm looking through and I see that you have a caregiver's connections. And, you know, with Project Independence, where, you know, we do a lot of work with caregivers, providing respite care for those primary caretakers. And, you know, so many of caregivers and care, they don't even know that they're the primary person giving the care. You know, caregivers do so much. And when you ask them, usually if it's a spouse especially, and you'll say, oh, you're the primary caregiver, and they're like, well, you know, I'm the wife, you know, it's what I do. But there's so much on them, and to actually be able to, you know, share with other people and get that kind of support. So what is Caregivers Connections?
So Caregiver Connections is an older name that we're in the midst of phasing out, but it referred to the support groups that we were just talking about a few moments ago. But now that we've expanded our support groups beyond just a caregiving group of people, we've decided that that name is no longer appropriate, and so we're simply just calling them support groups.
Okay. Well, that's good. And I'm sure that the support groups are growing, and that is really something that is needed. And, you know, so difficult to find isolated seniors, you know, and to be able to kind of connect with them is so important. But I know Iris had a point she wanted to share.
Yes, I wanted to touch on the self-advocate part of your program here, about demystifying the medical team you encounter at a hospital. As a patient, and as a caregiver as well, you're telling what a hospitalist is, what a resident or what a fellow, each of the services that each of them perform and how they can be of help to the actual patient. But sometimes, you know, people walk in when you're in the hospital. People walk in, you don't know what their purpose is. You just feel kind of put upon. So by telling in advance what these purposes are for these particular people, the hospitalist, the resident, whatever it is, I think would make more comfortable, people more comfortable when they're in those circumstances. So that would be an interesting little class to take. That would be a one-shot deal, but I think very helpful.
But that's, you know, one of our many goals is for people to be advocating for themselves, for them to have the information to be able to do that. You know, as I said earlier, our goals are twofold, social isolation alleviation and also independent aging. So being able to have the information that you need to make decisions, to be able to speak in your own voice and advocate for yourself and your family members, those are all a part of what we do. And I think the other, you know, real great thing about our University Without Walls program is because we have so many touch points with our clients when they're calling to participate in classes, we're also able to refer them on for additional services that might be appropriate for them. So somebody might be telling us that they're starting to experience a problem that's new to them and they're not really sure where they can get help. And we're able to connect them with a social worker here at DeRoad who can either provide services or make a referral to a partner organization that might be more local to that person. So we really try to use this as a means of not only engaging people in that particular program, but as a bridge to a wider variety of supportive services for them.
That's what Project Independence does as well.
That's right. We started out as a NORC, which is a naturally occurring retirement community in a very, very small area in northern New Hyde Park, where we were, through some funding with NYSOFA, we were able to have this NORC, and we served a very small population of the town seniors, and it was very successful. However, you know, with people who lived across the street who weren't in that NORC area, they weren't getting the services. So at the time, it was decided that we were going to expand to provide the aging-in-place services townwide, and that happened slowly, but we have been townwide now for probably 5 years. Fully townwide through the 311 call center, which is how you find out about Project Independence services with the town.
We might, you know, we might even put on the 311 information about DeRoad. So in case somebody didn't pick up the telephone number for DeRoad today, maybe they can be call 311. Is that possible?
Yes. Well, what we will do probably during Talk of the Town later is we just go over what the phone number is, how to contact DeRoad, and that people can call 311 for that information as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 311 is the town's call center. You can call there for anything, for a service from aging in place to if you want to report a pothole, something like that. But unfortunately, we have run out of time, Lorraine. We have about 35 seconds to go. And I just wanted to thank you very much for sharing all this information. It is vital, and I'm sure you will be a guest back. And it was great speaking with you. So I'm Rebecca Miller, and we will be right back after this break. You still there?